Something here that Pastor, I think, traditionally does, so I don't think I'm out of order here. This is what I was suggested. So I'm going to have the kids come on up. And I want you, I know we have a lot of instruments and cases, but I want you kids up in the first couple of rows. So you older kids, let's help move these down carefully. It's okay if they're on the floor. It's okay with me. It won't distract me. But let's have the kids in the first two rows on either side, okay? All the boys and girls. Parents, you're welcome to sit close by. But I'm expecting this to be a really well-behaved bunch here this afternoon. So now, adults, actually, if I was going to have the attention of the crowd, I probably should have you after lunch on the first two rows, okay? I just know how it is. Whenever you have to preach right after lunch, that's called the graveyard shift, and for a reason. Now, when I teach some classes at college, BCM, Baptist College of Ministry, I think you just had a group here not too long ago, and the Greenwalt boys are graduates, and we're glad for that. I love those guys. But I think they were in some of my classes. Did I ever have to do the wake-up technique with you guys? You know what that is? You remember that? Yeah. So I only taught classes with just guys, so I could get away with this. But I would take a pen and launch it right toward them. And that just has a way of getting them awake, especially when I strike. All right. I haven't hurt anybody. Don't worry. I'm not violent. But we have a good time. So anyway, do I have everybody's attention now, all the boys and girls? Okay, all right, little bigger boys and girls too, you know, the ones that are teenagers, great. Okay, and Brother Rubaker, he looks like, if you didn't have the beard, you probably would look like one of them. Okay, just saying, you got a young look, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Take that as a compliment. All right, I always love coming up to kids and say, guess how old I am. I've gotten anywhere from 50s to 20s, so who knows. All right. Now, what is, kids, what is the heaviest thing that you've ever had to carry? You can raise your hand and tell me that comes to mind, the heaviest thing you've ever had to pick up, and not just pick up, but you actually had to pick up and take somewhere. Anybody know? Paul? Backpack. Your backpack, okay, with all the school books in it, okay. Anybody else have something that comes to mind that was really heavy? Have any of you tried to pick up one of your siblings? Okay, yeah, okay, all right. By the way, I think some of the strongest people in here are not the men, it's the ladies who have all the kids. We have to keep picking them up, right? We carry things around. I know my kids, the little ones, sometimes like to go, Daddy, I can't carry this. You know, we're talking about a little bag from like Sunday school class, you know, just a little paper bag. So heavy. Okay, and I kind of, you know, I try to gently say, you know what, I think you can handle that. It's good for you, all right? But there are actually some burdens that God doesn't mean for us to carry at all. Now, we've talked about this, and the verse I'm going to use as a springboard for our challenge kids and for the adults, and I think, honestly, this is probably ultimately going to apply more to you adults, and this is going to be more preemptive, if you understand what I mean, truth for the kids. So I'm speaking to the adults for just a minute. Now back to the kids, all right? So please, adults, you need to listen to this one probably even more than the children because this affects you in a major way. But the verse that we quoted, can you say it with me? Psalm 55:22. Cast, say that loud, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. We'll stop right there. Okay, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. This is what we have to learn. We have to learn that anything that God allows in our life as a burden, we have to learn to be able to put on him completely. God doesn't mean for you to walk around with weight. If I were to grab all the hymnals that are up here, which there aren't that many right now, but if I were to grab all the books, all the hymnals, and start grabbing all the hymnals here and start piling up all the hymnals into a big pile, and I was just walking around with them, walking around, you'd say that's needless. Why are you doing it? Well, just it's good to pick up hymnals and walk. No, that's silly. Well, just as silly as that is for us to carry things that God didn't mean for us to carry. And one of the ways that we carry things, one of the areas of life that has been an area that it destroys many Christians' lives, not most, I hope, but many, one of the greatest burdens that we face is the burden of hurts and bitterness. We carry things that God didn't mean for us to carry. Now, kids, you may not fully understand that yet. Some of you may more than others. But adults, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to go over three different hurts, and then we're going to actually look at the passage in Ephesians chapter 4 where God deals with bitterness and what that looks like. But I need three kids to help me with this illustration. Okay? Do I have three kids? Wow, this is not a fast volunteering group today. I think you guys are sleepy. Okay? Three kids that, well, you're probably scared. What is he going to do, right? What's Pastor Van going to do? All right? Come on up here, buddy. You can come on up. And, you, okay. All right. So I want you guys to stand right here. I want, let's see, your name again?
Nate,
okay? And, Malachi's this one, this is Nehemiah, right? Okay. All right. I'm used to Malachi. Okay, spread out. Whoa. Over here. Good. Okay. Now, these guys are going to represent three different ways that we can actually experience hurt. People or circumstances that in life hurt us. I'm going to have something where you can remember what he is in a minute. But he is the hurt of being bullied or teased. Okay, and this happens a lot. It can happen within a family context or it can happen outside of a family context. Maybe even in a church setting, unfortunately, or out in the world, school, whatever. Okay, bullied or teased. This one here is the hurt of anger that's shown especially in the family. Family mistreatment, things that happen within the home. Okay? And then this one here, he is going to be the third category, and that is just trials that come. Really difficult crises. You know, family crises, have you ever heard of those before? Okay? They come, don't they? To everybody. There's different levels of them, though. Okay? Now, we're going to look at the wrong response and the right response. Okay? Now, I'm going to do this. These bags down here, I've got two book bags, and I've got one of my daughter's supposed to be a purse. It's almost a book bag. No, it's not that heavy. Okay, I'm just teasing. Okay. So, guys, this is not meaning anything about you, whatever I give you, okay? I'm going to set this here. You don't have to carry it. Okay, this is just represented. Okay. These are my sons, and they're going to probably fall against your leg there. Okay, there you go. Okay. Those are burdens. Now, actually, yours isn't that heavy, but go ahead and pick it up. Okay, all right, it's not too bad. You pick it up. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Pick it higher. Come on. Back. Put it on your back. Come on. Let's go. Put it on your back. All right, there you go. Okay, let's get this on your back. All right. You can kind of carry it. I think that goes on your back, too. You'll have to forgive me. That's not a boys' one, but I'm not trying to. Speaking of bullying, here we go. Okay. All right, I'm not teasing you, but just put the burden on, okay? If you can just be a good sport, okay? That's all I had. So just hold on to it tight. It's going to fall. Okay, there you go. Okay, they're carrying these burdens. Now, would you guys like me to have you stand here the rest of the day and keep that on your back? I don't think so. Okay. All right. Now, what they have on their back is ultimately representing the wrong response to when a burden comes. Okay? Now, before we look at the wrong response, the right response, I'm going to demonstrate this in a minute, is when a burden comes, something unfair, not right, comes in our life, we've got to learn to immediately take this burden and put it at the cross. That's something God's supposed to handle. He says, give it to me. But before we talk about that, I'd like to have these boys kind of hold up here so you can see this. Hopefully on both sides you can see. I think you can. All right, the first one is the idea of bullying, okay? And this is especially a big deal for kids. Can you hold this, please? It's the idea of being teased. That can happen in the home a lot, teasing. Being embarrassed. Have any of you had that awful moment of being embarrassed? Especially when somebody brought it on. I've had lots of moments of being embarrassed. I actually stutter, believe it or not. I've done a little bit here this week, but not a whole lot. But if I get in the right moment, it's a mess, you know. Actually, Mrs. Wiederich's last name would terrify me if I was in a stuttering mode, because W's are terrible, okay? Okay, so you can laugh, it's okay, because it's funny, okay? To me, it's fine. I'm not sensitive about it. It's funny, if I say the word orchestra, the O, sometimes I'll get stuck on it, and I'll start going ork, 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 and it's like, just be a penguin. Might as well just waddle around the stage at that point when I'm talking to the orchestra. Okay, so you just have to deal with that, all right? But thankfully I wasn't very much, but, you know, if I had been teased a lot about that, that's a hard thing. I remember, though, one time I called this phone number. I was so excited I was going to call my grandma and tell her about the fact that the Braves had won the World Series. She's from Atlanta. I was so pumped, and she answers the phone, and I say, "Hey, Grandma," and I went, "Hon, hon, da-da-da-da," just so excited, and the voice on the other side said, a southern voice, "I'm not your grandma," and she wasn't. I called the wrong number. Now, that wasn't somebody doing anything kind to me, but I'm telling you, I was horrified. Now, take that embarrassment, though, and actually have somebody you trust or somebody that you're supposed to feel safe with, and they're teasing you, and they're making fun of you, and they're putting you down, and they're telling you, you know, and they're making you insecure about yourself. I actually did that a little bit to my brother Daniel. Okay, I'll just tell you right now, I'm not proud of it. There's sometimes adrenaline kicks in when I think about it, because his response was so rewarding at the time, because he was easily teased, which isn't good. I know I put insecurity in him. You know, he's a phenomenal guy, but I know I didn't help him in his development because I would tease him. I mean, I won't tell you what I teased him about and what he felt for, but it was all the time. I mean, because he really trusted me. By the way, amazing thing is he and I worked together remarkably well today. So that's the grace of God. I've humbled myself about it. He's very, very kind and gracious. That's not good, though. I shouldn't have ever done anything to make him insecure. Okay? I was actually a well-behaved kid for the most part, and I wasn't rebellious against my parents, and so I think some of those things they didn't always catch, and I got away with it, and it wasn't good. Okay, so there's that bullying. It can be more severe. Then there's the idea of being mistreated or anger toward us. Anger even sometimes from people that are in authority, maybe parents, okay? Parents can lose their temper, can't they? I have. You feel that in those kind of a setting, you feel unloved, you feel unsafe, you feel kind of worthless. Some of you adults have been through that, haven't you, in the past? People were angry at you at the workplace, maybe somebody you trusted that you hope wouldn't treat you that way, and they really went after you, and you just felt very worthless. They just knocked you down, they smashed you, not necessarily physically, but with their words. And then there's sometimes these burdens in life called family trials. And we seem all alone in these trials. I had some growing up. I had a situation where an older brother had a massive brain tumor when he was 2 years old. And because of that brain tumor, it was the size of my fist and his little two-year-old head. And the doctors gave 0% chance of survival. 0%. No chance. He's still alive today, by the way. He's the only living survivor that's still known in the world of that cancer. It's an automatic killer cancer. It's the highest, most malignant childhood cancer you could get, and he got it in the brain. And God spared his life. But imagine missing the whole front left lobe of your brain, having scar tissue from radiation. Our brains are fragile, and so there's that whole idea of instability that can come. And so there were some days that, unless you've gone through that kind of a trial, you don't understand. Some of you really would not understand the depth of that. It was dark. It was hard. We felt alone, very alone. By the way, God used that trial. The reason you've experienced, I think my brother's been here before and preached and ministered, Brother Daniel. The reason he's serving the Lord today is because God broke him during his 11th grade year while he was having to care for my brother when he was in a really low space, a time, and God used it. Every bit of that dark time was good, but it was tough. And you feel alone. You feel a sense of missing out. We're missing out on doing these things because God's put this in our life. It's not fair. Or we feel like there can even be a response of an anger toward God. And so what we do is we start taking, if you notice these responses, we feel unloved. We feel unsafe. And so we open, I'm not going to open their bag. I have no idea what's in there. But we're books of some kind. But if you open your bag and you start pulling out, can you hold that a little higher for me? I know you're getting tired, but I'm sure. But you feel unloved and you feel unsafe. And you pull out more out of this burden. You're just carrying these burdens. And in that bag, you're carrying these things. And you're not feeling security. You as a person, maybe you're suffering in your family trial. Your family may be doing okay, but you're not handling it right. And so you feel lonely. You feel like you're missing out on life. You're like, these other kids get to do this, but we don't get this opportunity. Or you know, God, I'm angry. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? And even the whole idea of being bullied, you feel embarrassed. And inside you feel betrayed. It's like, why are they making fun of me? I don't like that. And you feel insecure. You say, I'm no good. I'm worthless. By the way, that's the talk of the enemy, to say you're worthless. That's Satan's. That's where he wants you to live, kids. If you ever, ever, ever get this point as a young person where you say, I'm nothing, I'm no good, that's just flat wrong. Now, in yourself you are, but God has made you in him. That's your security. And you'll learn more about that truth as you keep getting older. So these are the burdens that we face, right? Well, we shouldn't have to hold on to them, though. All right? If you choose to hold on to the burden, you'll have to carry it around. Can I ask you a question, Mr. Nehemiah? Are you getting tired? Okay. I'm sorry. I don't want to make any... I don't want to become a source of a trial here. Okay? But look, if you have to carry it around, if I made him... I can't do that anyway, but if I made him carry this all day, what else, if he kept carrying the burden, what else would it create for him? Just give me some things that would cause a problem for him. Just go. Speak at whoever.
Pain.
If I told him he only could do this today, what else would happen then? He'd be hungry, right? If I told him he couldn't eat, he just had to keep carrying the burden. Carry the burden. So he'd have hunger. He'd have, you know, if there's these physical things. How about spiritually, though? Guess what happens when you carry around the burdens and that's all you can do because that's on your back? Kids, this is what happens to you. You start starving spiritually. You start experiencing pain you didn't have to experience spiritually. He doesn't have to carry, I mean, he does because I'm asking him to right now, but he doesn't have to carry this. He doesn't have to, okay? Now, boys, we're not too long from you getting rid of this, okay? All right. So, here's what happens. When you carry it around, and then something else happens just like this, right? Okay, look. And you got this on your back, you're going to tend to respond really poorly. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And your whole perspective on life is going to be completely wrong because you just keep piling on the burden. And you're like this. You're just weighed down with a big burden on your back and you're not free. So, you have two choices. Oh, by the way, you know what bitterness does? And I'm going to explain what bitterness is in a minute. But you know what bitterness does? It causes you to end up hurting the people you love. You carry the burden. You carry the weight. You don't learn to cast it on God, which we'll look at also in a moment. And you don't learn to do that. And guess what happens? The people that you should love the most, that should be the closest to you, you end up hurting sometimes the most. And kids, when you carry things that you shouldn't have to carry, guess what happens? You hurt your siblings. You hurt your parents. You hurt other kids in the church. Adults, same thing. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we have the choice. These guys are either going to just carry these burdens all afternoon and tonight and tomorrow and the next day. And I mean, think about how silly. I mean, think about how much. I mean, this poor guy here, especially Mr. Nehemiah, he's going to wilt after a while if I keep this up. Okay? But you know what? So are you. So am I if I don't let that burden go. Why do we choose to carry those things? Why? It's so silly, isn't it? So, we either carry this burden, that's our choice, we can do that. Carry burdens and bitternesses against people and situations the rest of your life. My dad's had counseling situations that seem to go all the way back to a couple being bitter about a small thing, like, you know, brushing with the wrong toothbrush. I'm not joking, really. That's where it starts, something silly like that, and then it builds into this massive conflict between husband and wife or Christians. And you'll never know, fully know God's love and that sweet, trusting relationship that he has with you. But I got an idea here. Why don't we try something different, guys? Instead of you just staying here the rest of the day and carrying this, why don't you come with me and let's go to the cross, okay? Remember, Jesus paid for these burdens. When you got saved, what happened? He took all your sin upon him, right? If you've trusted Christ, he took it all. But now that these burdens that he's allowing in your life are here, he's still saying, hey, give them to me too. So let's do that, okay? All right? Can you put your burden here? All right? Why don't you give it to God? Now, the perfect picture would be throw it, but let's not do that, okay? I don't know what's in here, okay? So the idea is let's put it up here. Now, I got a question for you guys. Hold on. Stay right here with me. Okay. That is heavy. I'm sorry. I gave you the worst one. Whose book bag is this? Steven, or is this yours or Caleb's? Ah, son. Okay. All right. Whoa. Man. Oh, you were a trooper. Man, that was bad. Okay. All right. This really fit the picture here. This is impressive. All right. Now, I got a question for you guys. It's not you as much because yours was lighter, but do you guys feel better now? Doesn't that feel great? You're not carrying it anymore, are you? Isn't that amazing? Free. Whoo. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Another trial comes in your life. So what are you going to do? You want to take this back? Do you want to carry it some more? But we do that, don't we? God doesn't say cast your burden on the Lord and it happens one time and then we're good for the rest of our life. You know, it's a decision I had to make last night and I was struggling with a few things. This morning I had to make it again, and I'm having to make it again this afternoon. I'm going to have to make it, I'm sure, again tonight. You know, you start traveling with 9 kids. You never know what's going to happen when you start traveling, you know. And there's things that the Lord may allow to be a burden. And what do I need to learn to do? Cast it on him. Okay, good job, guys. All right, let's give them a hand. They were good troopers, all right? Good job. Okay. The idea of cast your burden upon the Lord is give it to him. Literally, the word is throw it on him. You might say, you know what, that's kind of a little bit sacrilegious. Throw something on God? That's what the word means. Look, friend, kids, I don't know what it is that God's allowing in your life right now. You don't have perfect parents. My kids don't have perfect parents. They don't have a perfect daddy. And there may be some things that, as parents, we've failed you in. Even there, this is not to minimize anything we may have done in our lack of good parenting. But can I just say something? You can still learn at your age to cast that on the Lord. And as you learn and you grow, God will keep growing us too. Adults, are you learning to cast those hard things on God? Now, do you know the word burden? I looked it up. It has the idea of providence in there. You're like, what does that mean? It's whatever providence, whatever God allows in your life, cast it on him. This is not outside of the control of God. You know, God could have prevented my family growing up from having my brother go through some of the trials he went through. He could have prevented that, but he didn't. Why? Because he wanted us to learn a whole lot of spiritual lessons. There's things God could easily have prevented already in your life, and he didn't. Why? Because he wants you to see his glory in it. But the only way you're going to see his glory is if you're not walking around with the weight of that one bag that you're carrying, that burden. No, you learn to throw it on him. And the difference is, as Nehemiah can tell you, the difference is a huge difference between a lot of weight or freedom. What do you want? See, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says this. It says, let all bitterness. Remember I talked about striving together for the faith of the gospel this morning? And the idea of standing fast in one spirit. What affects the Spirit of God to be able to really work in our midst? A lot of times it's spirit sins. I'm talking about not Spirit of God sins, but I'm talking about our spirit, the sins that can come. And what are they? Well, Ephesians 4 is filled with them. It talks about putting away lying. Don't be angry. And then right after it says don't be angry, it says neither give place to the devil. Did you know that every time we're angry, we open the door to Satan? Come on in their house. You get free reign in here. That's giving place to the devil. That's not good, especially, well, for believers. Don't steal. Don't have, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So our tongues are so important, kids, adults. And then it says, let all bitterness. I'm going to close with this illustration. Bitterness is not like an active anger you have towards somebody. A lot of people think, I'm not bitter. Okay, I have found myself in the last few months actually wrestling with the fact that it doesn't take long and you can start having a bad taste about people in your mouth. Like a bad taste in your mouth, you have a bad taste about people in your mind. Let me give you an illustration. My dad was one time in the Holy Land and on a trip, and it was when he went as a high schooler. I told Pastor Madrid the story. I think he had heard it on the Holy Land trip. But my dad went there and God used it to call him to ministry, to surrender. But while he was there, he was at the Dead Sea. And you have to kind of trust. You kind of have to be careful as a young person when you're around preachers, because preachers, speaking of burdens and wounds, they can sometimes tease. Okay. And this one preacher came up to my dad. He said, hey, Wayne. He said, guess what? He said, the Dead Sea, he says that water is amazing. He said, you get a full scoop, you put it in your mouth, you swish it around, it'll be an experience like you've never had. And my dad didn't know any better. And so he said, sure. He didn't ask my grandfather. He just went down there and believed this guy. So he scooped it up. He put that water in his mouth. He swished around. He spit it out so fast. And he gagged. He was dying. He said, what am I going to do? This is horrible. I mean, because the Dead Sea is so rich with mineral content. It's awful with the taste. And so he's just trying to figure out what he's going to do. And he goes up and he sees this stand. This is in the 60s. And he sees this stand there, and it's got a... you know, they're selling those glass bottles of Coke. So he goes and he buys one and he's drinking it. And as fast as he can to get that taste out of his mouth. And then when he finds out that the kibbutz just around the corner dumped their raw sewage there, that didn't help him at all. And so he's just absolutely grossed out. He's thinking, what is it that I even put in my mouth? And so the whole rest of the trip, he was tasting the Dead Sea. It was a lingering taste in his mouth. It wasn't necessarily on the forefront of his mind, like, always thinking about that horrible experience, but it was just there, right? You know, all of a sudden you just have that taste. It would just kind of come back and come back and come back. Bitterness ultimately leads to the far extent, and the worst of it ultimately leads to something very bad, kids, and that's the desire to hurt somebody else. Do you ever desire to hurt somebody else? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever heard of siblings? Okay. The anger that can come out can be something that's festering in your heart toward another sibling. You can lash out in anger and malice, this idea of hurting somebody. You don't want to ever get to that point. And it can happen to any of us. But it comes from, you don't do that to somebody that you're okay with. That means there's something in your heart that's reacting toward them. And so it says, let all bitterness, ultimately all that whole list there, be put away from you with all malice. Now, with regards to bitterness, let me just say this one more thing, okay? God is wanting all of us to be free from having something that feels like a bad taste in our mouth about other people. In this church, God wants you all. Oh, by the way, there's so many different personalities in here. If I got to know you all well, I mean, it would be incredible variety of people here. Don't ever get to the point where you have somebody, even within the body, that you have a bad taste in your mouth toward. I have found sometimes that even people within my own fellowship or within my church can almost sometimes tend to not appreciate. You know, there's some people in my fellowship that may tend to be more aggravating by personality. You know what God's taught me to do? A lot of times it comes because they're insecure people. And you know what he's taught me to do? Is to just love them. And I love their personality. Even when they say things to me or whatever that just like, wow, that was interesting. You know what? I just learned to just embrace who they are and love them. And your heart gets full instead of getting a spirit toward them. But then when people start to mistreat you, what are you going to do? Also, one thing I've had to learn is not only to myself, but also don't take up the offense of others. You know, you may take up the cause of somebody else. It wasn't even your cause specifically. You have to be very careful. Bitterness comes in so fast. So what's the solution? Cast it on the Lord. He took care of it at the cross. Give it to him. You say, but that person needs to, God needs to deal with that person. I got a good way for you to pray for somebody that's done wrong to you. Pray God's goodness on them. You say, really? Aren't there some great imprecatory prayers in the Psalms by David, Lord? You know, that we can just pray the fire down on them. No. You know what that means? It means your motives are impure. You know what you need to want is the best for them. And you say, well, huh, okay. But if God showers his goodness on them, then they're going to get away with it, Pastor Van. I got something to tell you, kids and adults. Nope. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. God knows how to be good to people to bring them to himself. God knows how to do that. Now, if he decides to give them a trial that wakes them up, fine, that's his business. That's not my business. That's his business. You know what my business is? God bless them. You know what my great-grandmother did when somebody, her neighbor, kept stealing flowers out of her yard? She would literally dig them up, take them over, and replant them in her yard in Florida, Miami. My grandmother loved her flowers. She was proud of them, and she kept getting them dug up by this neighbor. You know what she did? She took a cake over to her house. Her neighbor was shocked. Like, she just said, what are you doing? She said, I want you to know I love you. You say, well, she's not getting, no, that the Lord ended up using it to solve the problem. Be good to those who despitefully use you. We've got to learn that. We're in a society that says, get back at them. You have to get your way. You have your rights. You can't let people step on you like that. You can't let that happen, okay? What did our Savior do? He got spit upon. You know, they still have pretty strong rules. If you came and spit in my face, and I wouldn't do this to you, but if you did, I would just say, oops. Not a good idea, but don't, you know. But if you spit in my face, you could actually get arrested for that. I mean, that's still, there's, in Wisconsin, I know, this lady spit in somebody's face, she was arrested, put in jail for a while. Can't do it. Not supposed to. All right, the Lord Jesus endured that. He was beaten unjustly. He had a crown of thorns was placed in his head in an awful way. His hands were pierced. His feet were pierced. He hung on that cross. Every aspect of his body was just completely pulled apart inside. That's what he suffered. And he bore your sin and mine. On top of that all off. And yet we're not willing to forgive, to give that to him. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You and I, kids, have been forgiven by God. So why can't we forgive others? And why can't we be kind to them? That's the point. So cast that burden on the Lord. And when you see that person who seems to be your problem, learn to be kind back. The Bible says if they smack you on the one cheek, turn the other. You say, whoa, Pastor, that was pretty bad. No, that's what it says. So if somebody hits you, if you hit back, you violated the word of God. You didn't stand up for your rights. You did wrong. Now, obviously, get out of the situation. But the whole picture is, don't get back. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Let God take care of that. That's God's business. You just let God do his work. Don't get in the way. We mess it up. But we mess it up because we carry burdens. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Here's the question. Are any of you carrying burdens today? Are you? Some things may come to mind of people that have wronged you, and you still haven't gotten that free. Oh, Christian, don't carry it. Don't carry it, please. Kids, don't carry the things that people do to you. Don't hold that against them. Show them that your God is so big that he can free you. And guess what? If they've done wrong to you, that means they're carrying a burden too. And you can show them how to get free. All right? Let's pray. Let's all close our eyes, bow our heads, please. Simple question, one question. Say, Pastor Van, God's worked on my heart, and I know that there's at least one area of my life, one type of trial, may have been represented by these three boys up here, where I'm still carrying that hurt. I've gotten hurt by somebody, a sibling, a parent, somebody that you trust. Could be a trial in your life that's been really hard, and you have not learn to just cast that on the Lord and be free in your heart. And you say, I'm burdened about it. I want to be free. I want to right now in this invitation make a decision to, by faith, throw my burden on God and trust him to take care of it. So if that's you right now and you say, I want to be honest about it, adult and child, anybody this afternoon, If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, yes, God's working on me right now. I'm holding on to something. I want him to free me. Okay, I see several hands. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? We're so quick to excuse it. We're so quick to excuse it. Let me ask you a question. Were you talking to others about it? Were you struggling with it? Were you finding yourself, you know, making that phone call to your friend saying, did you know what so-and-so did to me? That's bitterness. That's gossip. Okay? Anybody else? You say, no, Pastor Van, God's working on me. I'm not going to belabor this, but I want to help you. Okay. Lord, I pray that you would just give a real honesty as we finish this service. And thank you for your working in lives and for your working in my heart, even through this truth. I pray that you would be glorified through what happens now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.